You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
So the reading is Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to chapter 25, verse 13, and it's found on page 994 in the Church Bibles. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master is staying away a long time." And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of him. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took their oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Bible, there should be one near you somewhere. And if you'd like to open it at page 994, page 994, Matthew 24, that would be great. It'd be great if you can follow, hopefully, what I'm saying. Page 994, Matthew 24. And I'm going to open in prayer with the collect for this Sunday in Advent, the second Sunday, and a collect is gathers our thoughts, and this very appropriately gathers our thoughts as we come to this, to God's Word. So let's pray. Blessed Lord, who caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? That's the question we have to answer this morning. Are you and I faithful and wise servants of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ? This Advent, we're looking at the teaching of Jesus about his second coming from Matthew 24 and 25. And Jesus repeats one similar message, and you can see it there in verse 42 of chapter 24. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Verse 44, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And that phrase comes again in verse 13 of the second story that we look at this morning. Just look at it. Verse 13, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And I gather up those phrases in the words, be constantly prepared. Be constantly prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus. But the question is, how? How can we be constantly prepared? What will that look like? What should we be doing? Well, the first thing to say is being constantly prepared is not sitting around looking up at the sky. Or, the Christian Post tells me that two of America's biggest evangelical broadcasters, quote, have stationed cameras on a hill overlooking Jerusalem, ready to cover the return of Jesus Christ from the Mount of Olives, as predicted in the Bible, should any event occur soon. Please don't waste time looking at those websites unless you want to see what the Mount of Olives looks like. As we've taught, the return of Jesus Christ will be universal and unmistakable. It won't be secret. We don't waste time trying to work out dates and times. What we need to know is perfectly clear. As I put on the sheet, the return of Jesus is certain, imminent, unknown. His return will be unmistakable, universal, and sudden. Be constantly prepared. And Jesus has already given two clear ways to be prepared for his coming back. Chapter 24, verse 13, I put it on the sheet. He who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations in the whole world. So how is the Christian to be ready? However awful the war or the earthquake, stand firm. Don't be shaken. Don't stand firm in your faith to the end. We've looked at 24. But we want to pick it up here, because here is the first way that how we're constantly prepared. Whatever's going on in the world, and we give ourselves to gospel work. Stand firm to the end, trusting Christ, whatever persecution, whatever suffering is going on. Stand firm, trusting Jesus, when others turn away from the faith. That is so sad. Or when they grow cold. Stand firm in the faith and give yourself to gospel work. Stand firm to the end when false teachers try and deceive and lead Christians astray. And give yourselves to gospel work. Now, actually, from verse 45, Jesus sharpens that even more, how we're to be prepared, with four stories or parables. Let me say, these are very challenging. They're very reassuring. They will shock us, what Jesus says. And they're there to wake us up. And as we look at the first two of these stories, can I get into your mind? Think of the responsibilities that Jesus as Lord has given you. So there's the headline. Stand firm to the end, trusting Christ. Give yourself to gospel work. And then think of the responsibilities that you have in your marriage and family, in your work, in your relationships, in this church, with your money, with your ambitions, with your attitudes. This is very down-to-earth and ordinary. It's what you'll be doing at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So firstly, serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely in all the responsibilities he's given you. Serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely in all the responsibilities he's given you. Look at verse 45. Who then is the wise and faithful servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them food at the proper time? So the servant has a responsibility to his master. The master goes away. He puts a servant in charge to feed the other servants. Verse 46. It'll be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. That is the faithful and wise servant who gets on doing the things that the Lord has given him to do, the master has given him to do. But it may be that this servant is not faithful and wise. Verse 48. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master's staying away a long time." And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. See, there's a choice to be faithful and wise or to be unfaithful and foolish, just to do your own thing. There are two possibilities for us this coming week. A long time ago, I was a teacher. And in those days, it wasn't so serious to leave a class for a few brief moments. It would be a dereliction of care, a duty of care. You'd be on a safeguarding report or something these days. And maybe I had to do some photocopying, and I'd set my class to do some work, do exercise 7 from the book. And when I returned, the class would often be divided into 3 groups. Some never started the work. It was too good an opportunity just to do whatever they wanted. Some actually started, but because I'd not returned straight away, they got distracted and they stopped working on the task, and often they were beating their fellow pupils. They weren't drinking, but they were certainly, well, at least annoying them. And then there were the wise pupils who'd worked faithfully. So before Jesus comes back, and it may be a long time, which servant are we? See, are we just doing our own thing with our own selfish agendas? Or are we being faithful and wise? Look what happens in the story that Jesus tells. Verse 50. This is a shock, isn't it? The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he's not aware of. Again, note the emphasis again there that Jesus will return, but we don't know when. It will be sudden. No warning, no special signs, but it shouldn't be a surprise for those who know him and are ready. Look what happens when the master does return. It is a shock. Verse 51, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus tells the story that the master judges and punishes the foolish and unfaithful servant. So be constantly prepared. Serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely in all the responsibilities that the Lord has given you, right through to the end, however long it will be. And this is very down to earth and ordinary. Think about your work. The work that the Lord Jesus has called you to. Work doesn't have to be paid employment. Work in the Lord's world can be unpaid. You may be a homemaker. You may be at school or college, no pay there. You may be retired with responsibilities. You will be doing that Christianly. Colossians 3 verse 23 talks about working as if we're working for Jesus. Now, we haven't got time to unpack that fully. We often think about those kind of things. But you see, you won't be doing your work for yourself and what you can get out of it. You'll see it part of the way that you serve Jesus. And as an employee, the faithful and wise Christian will be a hard-working and reliable worker. At school, the Christian will work in such a way that teachers are delighted with effort and attitude. And if you have responsibility looking after people at work, there'll be a delight. They'll be delighted to be under your care. You see, whatever work we do, we'll serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely, and we'll have a gospel priority in our work. And we'll serve faithfully and wisely right through to the end. Think of marriage and family and relationships. There should be something different and distinctive about the Christian husband, the Christian wife, the Christian child, the Christian single person. That is how to be constantly prepared. Think of what the Lord Jesus has given you. Think of your home. What matters is not what you do to them, but what you do in them. The Christian marriage that is nurtured. The children who are taught Christ from the Bible and prayed with and for, faithfully, wisely, not neglecting that. The hospitality that is given to the stranger. Think of your attitude to money. Your money is not God-given spending power for you, but it's God-given giving power to advance the gospel and build his church. You see, it's very, very ordinary, actually, what it looks like to serve the Lord faithfully and wisely in all the responsibilities he's given you. And to do that right through to the end, however long it might be. Think of this church, the faithful and wise servant, and church stands firm, whatever's going on around, in the face of false teachers who are trying to deceive with false teaching that doesn't agree with what the Bible says. The faithful and wise servant and church stands firm when others grow cold or get distracted. The wise and faithful servant of church is not distracted from the gospel priority. The gospel priority. Think of the pastoral responsibility that many have. What a privilege. What a privilege to teach at Impact. And heroes are in a growth group. Serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely in all the responsibilities that he's given you, right through to the end. And we serve faithfully and wisely in loving our neighbour. Care for the weak, the poor, and so on. And let me say this, we do all those responsibilities in the right way and to the right proportion under the Lordship of Jesus. What do I mean in the right way and in the right proportion? It is possible for something good and something that is God-given to become actually an idol that gets in the way of the other responsibilities that we have. So let me give an example. Say we allow our work to become our consuming passion. Just said we should work as if we're working for Jesus. But it's possible, is it, for our work to become our consuming passion? And that can squeeze out what Jesus calls us to in other areas of life. So we're not actually faithful and wise in other areas of life because our work is our consuming passion. And we don't slip into excuses. I've done my bit. Now it's time for someone else to do their bit. And by implication, I can go and do what I want. It's exactly what the unfaithful and foolish servant wanted to do. He wanted to beat up the fellow servants and drink. Or we don't say, I'll do this as long as I enjoy it or because I enjoy it. You see again how subtle that is, because it's really just fitting in with what I want rather than serving the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely in all the responsibilities. Who said that Christian service was just doing what I enjoy? Praise God. Praise God for the person who cleaned the loos this week and is going to keep doing that. So serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely. Then secondly, serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely. His return might be a long time. Let's look at the second parable. At first glance, it seems that Jesus teaches the same thing, but I think it turns on one thing, as we'll see. And there's a number of very pertinent points in this. The parable is about the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. And it seems that this is addressed to those who seem to be part of the kingdom. To religious people, maybe to people who turn up in church. And the story is of a Jewish wedding. They were great celebrations, and the groom would come to the bride's house to be greeted by, here it says, virgins, bridesmaids. And the virgins, the bridesmaids, would guide him to the wedding feast. And their lamps would be lit so the whole village could see. And Jewish weddings last days and days. There are records of one lasting 10 days. And having been a best man and the stress that goes with it, how can you imagine being at a wedding that lasts 10 days and being best man at that? Boy. And the story revolves around the fact that the bridegroom is delayed. Look at verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And in the story, five bridesmaids are wise. They prepare for the delay. Look at verses 3 and 4. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. So the wise prepare for the delay by taking extra oil, and the foolish don't. This week, Julia bought me a power bank. It's a little box with extra power for when my phone is running low on charge. And so I can carry it with me, and if I'm not near a supply, if I've taken my charger with me, I can charge my mobile and I think my laptop. She wants me to be prepared with reserve power. Same idea here. And the groom's delayed. They all doze off. Can I say that there's no blame attached for dozing off? The groom would often be delayed. You see, the point turns on whether you're wise or foolish here. The bridesmaids who were carefully prepared for the delay because they took extra oil. They were wise. The return of Jesus might be a long time. Are you serving faithfully, wisely? And then thirdly, I want to just introduce this at this moment. Serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely. His return is salvation or judgment. It is vindication or shame. Look how this story develops. It's brilliant. Verse 6 of chapter 25, a cry rings out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." His arrival immediately divides the girls into two groups. Up to this point, the girls would have looked very similar. They were all girls. They all had lamps. They all went out to meet the bridegroom. But because of the delay, the difference is really shown up. Look at verse 7. The foolish realized their mistake. The foolish don't have enough oil, and they desperately beg. Look at verse 8. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are running out." But they can't borrow oil from the wise. So those who've been wise and been prepared can't help the foolish. See, preparedness can't be transferred or shared. Verse 9, look what they say. "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." And so the foolish rush off to get some more oil. But when they come back, it's too late. Look at this, verse 10. "But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut." Can I say this is a very interesting example of how you can't press details of parables to mean more than was intended, because that's the great challenge of understanding the Bible properly. You see, someone might say, well, these wise virgins were not very generous, were they? If they were Christians, they would have shared the oil that they had. But that's not the reason Jesus tells this parable. You see, it's the big point. There's going to be a delay. Are you ready? Are you constantly prepared? It's a parable about the need for every single person to be personally prepared. However long that might be. And you can't rely on someone else to prepare you for the return of Jesus. Don't be like Terry Wogan. He was interviewed about his life in the Sunday Times a few years ago. He said he didn't believe in God. And then he said this, I wrote it down. "My wife's a believer, though. She won't pass a church without popping in to have a word with him. I tell her that it's good that at least one of us is keeping up with the insurance policy. On my deathbed, I might be very glad that she's kept that upstairs door open for me." Well, we loved Eltel, didn't we? But let's listen to the words of Jesus here. And look at the end of verse 10. It's very stark, isn't it? The door was shut. The foolish are excluded. And it doesn't matter how much they shout and complain. Look at verse 11. "Sir, sir," literally that is "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But the door is shut. And he says to them, "Certainly not. I tell you the truth." Look at this, verse 12. "I don't know you." Those, I think, must be the saddest words for Jesus to say on the last day. I think there are, for Jesus to say to somebody, "You fool," or "I don't know you," you see, his return is salvation or judgment. It is vindication or shame. And for those of us who are religious, who attend church, this is very challenging, isn't it? The girls have the right appearance. They have the language, "Lord, Lord," but they're not ready. In the first story, actually, in verse 51... the master assigns the foolish and unfaithful servant a place with the hypocrites. Some translations use the word phonies. People who give the appearance of something but actually are something else. So we may meet this morning, but are we ready for the return of Jesus? We can't rely on the fact that our parents might be Christians. Or our spouse might be Christian. We can't rely on the vicar to get us prepared, though it's his responsibility to be a wise and faithful servant and to proclaim the gospel. If you're not trusting Jesus Christ as your Saviour this morning, can I exhort you to do that? Please turn to Jesus this morning and trust him as Saviour. He'll forgive your sins and give you eternal life, all at the expense of his own death. And what shows us to be true and genuine, and that we've really grasped the gospel that Jesus will return, is that we'll serve Jesus faithfully and wisely in all the responsibilities that the Lord has given us, right to the end, however long that may be, standing firm. And notice just one other thing, that his return involves reward. We're going to see this more next week. There's more stories to come. It's beautiful kind of building, developing teaching that Jesus brings here and that Matthew organizes. Further blessing. Verse 47, the master puts the faithful servant, the wise servant, in charge of all his possessions. And how glorious in the parable of the 10 virgins, for those who were wise and faithful and ready and prepared for the delay, that there's a wedding banquet to go into. How wonderful, a wedding banquet with all's involved in that. So praise God, can I say this in closing? Praise God for all those at Trinity who are standing firm to the end. Praise God for all those who are trying to get the gospel out as the priority. Praise God for all the faithful and wise serving that goes on at Trinity. Keep serving faithfully and wisely. Praise God for the person who cleaned the loos this week. Keep doing that on the rota. You don't have to do it every week. Praise God for those who visit the elderly. Praise God for those who count the money, whatever the responsibility is. Praise God for those who this week invite those they know to the carol service. The gospel is our priority. Serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and wisely, right through to the end. Let's pray, shall we? Please help us, as we've prayed already, to our Heavenly Father, to hear, to read, to mark, to learn, to inwardly digest this teaching of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he speaks these words so that we may indeed embrace and forever hold fast the joyful hope of eternal life. We thank you for the clarity of this teaching, that the Lord Jesus will return. Please help us to serve him faithfully, wisely, in all the responsibilities that he has given us. Please help us to keep doing that right through to the end. Please help us to stand firm, trusting him, serving him. Please help us to have a gospel priority this week. We ask these things in Jesus' name, for his glory, the extension of his kingdom. Amen.